Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Welcome all. I am delighted today to welcome two fabulous women on our show. Ruby Maguire, business and mindset queen based in Scotland, and Gail Gibson, a performance coach based in Malaysia. Lucky us, and I'm in The Hague, so that makes us really international. So anyway, two international women and accredited master coaches with a very global reach. Welcome, Ruby and Gail. I would like to ask you both to take a few minutes to tell us who you are, what you do, and why you do it before we get on to our topic of today, mind over menopause.
Brilliant. So I'm Ruby Maguire. So as it says, business and mindset queen. I run a business where I help queens, so aka CEOs of their business, to step up and to manage their mindset and all of the things that go in business. So sales, marketing, all of those kind of things. So they're being the queen of their business and working smarter, not harder, and managing their mindset throughout the process. Why do I do it? Well, that's a really good question. One of my things is I want to rid the world of grumpy people, right? It's huge, because my father was so grumpy and he would just moan and moan and moan all the time. So I'm a bit of a Pollyanna and I like to help people shift their mindset. But when you're in business, it's a massive thing, a stumbling block. If you don't clear your mindset blocks, you will find your business so much harder to run. So I think that's why I do it. And stepping up as a queen, well, why wouldn't you want to be the queen of your business? So I think that gives you a little insight into who I am.
Wonderful, Ruby. I think exactly. I think we could all take inspiration from that and the world would be a much brighter and happier and thriving place. Thank you.
Yes. Hi. And thanks for inviting us today. So why do I do what I do? I'm really passionate about empowering and supporting women leaders on their journey and quest towards excellent leadership. So as an accredited master coach, a business mentor, consultant, author, speaker, and podcast host, I love to help women leaders to regain control of their mindset, to be able to sustain their peak personal performance and flourish. So I guess behind why I do what I do is I use what I term and created the can-do approach. And this is helping leaders to lead with purpose, to create really meaningful work so that they can reach their personal best. And what I've found over the years that I've been doing this is it's really led to life-changing personal growth and sustained success for the women leaders I've worked with across the globe, including in the UK, the US, Asia, and Australia. Alongside that, and the mentoring comes in, I'm really passionate about paying it forward as a business mentor to emerging startups and aspiring entrepreneurs, and have worked on a number of programs over the years. I've got over 15 years of global experience in small business mentoring, executive performance, and leadership coaching with women who are business leaders and also C-suite and senior executives, and really working, not a new area, but a different area now for myself of doing more business consultancy, working with those CEOs and founders who are looking for that next level of growth. So like Ruby, we're both co-authors of one, our book together, but I've also written two other books, co-authored another one on leadership, and my first book was a solo one on networking. So I'm renowned globally for my self-leadership and sustaining peak performance as a speaker, and then have my Can Do Way podcast as well.
Well, lucky us having both of you here today. Now, Gail, where are you from? Where's that accent?
I'm originally from Perth, Western Australia, but I've lived in Canada, the UK, and now Malaysia.
Right. So very global. And Ruby, you're actually British based in Scotland, right?
Based in Scotland. Yeah, we've been here nearly 4 years this year and would not go back to England for the world. Not the English, just the countryside. It's just stunning, you know, driving around. It's just beautiful. So
fantastic. Isn't it lovely though? I mean, we can moan all we want about technology and all the rest, but I mean, here we have three very different women from different nationalities living in totally different places. And we can all get together today around our common subject here, which is menopause, which was, of course, a big one for my fabulous after 50. So mind over menopause is
the name of this book that you have both authored. I love the byline, you know, when the heat is on, don't sweat it. Now, can I maybe just sort of start with how did you two actually get in touch with each other, and how did you discover this common topic that you wanted to explore?
Yeah, so the book is The Working Women's Guide to Menopause, When the Heat is On, Don't Sweat It, and our podcast is Mind Over Menopause, just in case people are looking for us.
So, right.
We got together years ago. We actually met in person at networking meetings that we used to go to regularly. I think it was once a month meetings. And a friendship kind of built from there. And we both moved around the same time. So Gail moved to Malaysia, and as I moved up to Scotland. And we would have conversations each week. We still do, which was a bit less regular actually back then, Gail. And we'd have these meetings called Buzz Chats, where we would inspire each other and co-coach each other and co-mentor. And one of the days we were having this mental block around booking in the next session. I couldn't remember. I had brain fog. Gail had how this conversation went. So Gail said jokingly, I think we should write a book while we remember. And that was really where it all started. And it was always going to be something around mindset. Our book doesn't talk about lotions and potions, and
right.
We don't get into HRT or any of that. This is very much about something that you can control. You're not relying on other things. We're not saying you might need those things. You know, you've got to do your own menopausal journey when it comes to what you use. But what we are saying is a big part of it is managing your mindset. And that's kind of how we've approached the whole menopausal thing personally, our journeys personally, and also how we've approached the book.
Fantastic. I mean, it sounds wonderful because it's based on experience, pulling together your can do and all the things that you do in your respective businesses regarding, you know, a goal and how to get there and what are the obstacles and how do we get over them, etc. So and then personal experience, obviously, as well. So would you say you're both in menopause, through menopause, perimenopause? Does anyone even know?
Perry, yeah, definitely. And I've got all the symptoms in the book, unlike Gail, who I might not talk to for the rest of the day with her and hardly having any symptoms.
Right.
but we both come at it from a different perspective as well, which is really nice, because Gail obviously is more from the executive and corporate coaching and that kind of thing, whereas I work with small business owners. So we're coming at it from two different perspectives as well. And some of the stories where we've talked to different people, everyone has got such a personal journey. No one story is the same. We've spoken to hundreds of people now around menopause, and nobody experiences it in the same way. So if you can think you can manage your mindset, you have your own personal way of doing that. That can make a huge difference to how you experience the whole journey.
This is wonderful, because I was thinking of whichever country, religion, whatever we all are, we all have in common that we go through this thing called the menopause. But then how we go through it, what symptoms are all extremely individual. However, the mindset, what do you do with what you've got, is again what brings it all together. Mm. I would think that that's already the first thing, isn't it? It's the awareness. I don't know in your countries, but here in the Netherlands, there's been actually a lot of talk lately about menopause in the workplace as well, and the amount of women who are diagnosed with burnout when in fact it is menopause. So there's a whole sort of awareness raising thing here in the Netherlands at the moment within companies as well. So if we talk about mind over menopause, so you have found common factors that we can all, you know, that this book is obviously general, as in it's guidelines, rules, suggestions that you make to coping with
it. Yes, it's as you've already hinted at, Julie, it is based on our personal experience, but also the experiences of five women who are running small businesses and also five women who have a corporate experience in going through. So some of them are in perimenopause, some are in menopause, and some have been post. So what it's given us is a wealth of different practical strategies that people can tap into, and they are all focused around mindset. So we have decided to break the book into three key areas, which is all about managing yourself, managing your mindset, and also managing your time, because these were the key areas that we noticed were coming up more and more in the interviews that we were running. And as Ruby said before as well, it's how we have also handled or managed and coped with our own perimenopausal experience. Of course, as we've all said, we all experience something very, very different, but we know that it has been mindset that has really, really helped us in so many ways, because it helps us to bounce back. It helps us to give ourselves a different focus and to actually get through some of the things that maybe we allow ourselves to be held back by at other times. Of course, the symptoms can take a life of their own and do things to us sometimes out of our control. Those things are, but we can take control of how we think about them and how we act and behave. But it's about learning and training yourself to do something a little bit differently. But along the way, more than anything else, we decided that we wanted one of the strong messages to be in our book that, you know, this is a journey you're going on, but along all of it, be kind to yourself at every stage. Because if we fight it and we try to go against the flow of it, we're going to put ourselves into a worse situation. And as you hinted at, the burnout for a lot of women in the workplace. But if we actually more mindful in ourselves and how we approach it day to day, and just go, you know what, this is the kind of day I'm having today. And tomorrow could be a very, very different day, but I'm going to find a way to get through today. Just do it the way that works best for you. But we hope that our strategies and the proof is in the pudding of how we do manage ourselves. As Ruby said, her experience is very different to mine. So, yeah, that's where we're at with this.
I love it. I love it. And I think the thing is, because, of course, we know about mindset and we're all coaches as well. So we know it's not so much what has happened. It's how we cope with it, how we react to it, what we make it mean that is important. And I think the problem with menopause is that it's sort of, it's not something where you sort of say, okay, you know, mind over matter, I'm going to get on and do this, etc., like we would for some things. Is there is also a medical side of it. So it's not actually an illness. You know, we can't then decide that we're not taking responsibility for it at all because poor me, I have blah, 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 blah. It's sort of a mix of both. It's something which is happening to us, which is lots of aspects is a physical happening to us. However, we can still use that mindset to cope with it. Now, to come back to the three categories that you said, so managing yourself, managing your mindset, and then managing your time. What do you mean by that?
Okay, well, I'll talk about that from the perspective with the corporate work that I've done. When we wake up in a day and we're working, say we're in a corporate office and we know that we've got an agenda ahead of us, what I found through the interviews that I've done and also through the leadership work that I do is that the women who were actually very proactive about working out when they are at their productive best, working out how to time block according to changes in energy, and also shifting their mindset to really focus on getting done what they can get done. This was one of the things around being able to be at your productive best, how to manage yourself most effectively in the workplace. Now, on the other side of that, from Ruby's perspective, as I know myself working from home as well, you can kind of change your schedule according to how you're feeling on the day. But when you're in a corporate position, it's about raising this awareness in your team and with your organization to actually say, look, we're not asking for any special treatment, but what we are asking for is how can we as a team and how can we as an organization actually allow for all of us to understand when we work at our best so that we can all be as effective and we can still perform at the same level that we did before. Because we were only talking to a guest on our own show last week who was saying that she was driven out of her work because of the toxic environment where she was in, where she was not supported. So she wasn't allowed to actually manage her own time. So she was very stressed. Her symptoms rose to a different level and it created a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety, and so much pressure on her. So one of the things that we're big advocates for as well is through the mindset work that we do is knowing what your purpose is. So when you know what you're doing, you can plan accordingly, you can set the goals, but time blocking and knowing when you're at most productive time in your working day is what's really, really important. So if you are having a down day, you can say, I know I work best from 8 till 10 in the morning, get that priority work done in the morning, and then have those meetings or give yourself a chance to actually still perform well, but not doing those critical things that you might require.
Thanks for that, Gail. And that makes so much sense as well. It ties into what you were saying about being kind to yourself, first of all. And secondly, it really is that embracing change. I think one of the biggest struggles that I am experiencing is accepting that I do need to adapt. I do need to do things differently, just as much as I don't sport 3 hours in a row like I did when I was 25, I might want to and I might get annoyed or wait. You know, I say, well, I don't understand what's happening. Why on earth am I putting weight on? I'm doing exactly what I always do, you know, following the same thing and doing the same amount of sports, etc. But yes, I have to accept it doesn't work anymore. My metabolism has changed and it's not resisting it and fighting against it, but recognizing in this phase what is the best for me. And I think that that's very wise to have that sort of gentle, almost curious attitude. We're still as bright. It doesn't mean that we've gone brain dead. Yes, every now and then we get foggy, but once you look at yourself properly, then you know when maybe your best moment is, and that can apply to everyone. Right, so you've been talking about tips and techniques. So that's what one finds in the book. It's a mixture of experiences, tips, tricks, along the lines of mindset then.
Absolutely. Sort of following on from what Gail was saying around working to your best and your best times and all of those kind of things. Obviously, when you're running your own business, so my clients are all small business owners running their own business. They're having to do everything. That's why it's about stepping up as queen and building yes. teams and that kind of thing. But one of the things that's really key here is setting boundaries. And you can do that in the workplace, a bit like Gail was saying, with your team's support yep. and saying, well, you know, these are the best times. I need this time to work and all of those kind of things. When you're running your own business, you are in a luckier position, a more fortunate position where you can build in extra time and days. And, you know, I've just recently reduced my working days to 3 days a week because I know that I need that extra day in the week right. just to build some energy and do some things for me. And, you know, it's trial and error. And so it's like, well, what if I do that? Then what's going to happen to all of these different things? And that's when the boundaries need to come in place, because it's easy to step back into that. Or I'm going to respond to every, or I'm going to book in this number of meetings in my day. And if whatever role you're in, whether it's in the corporate world or whether it's in your small business, you're running your own business, if you can bring in some boundaries and take back some of that control where possible. I know it's not possible when you're necessarily in a corporate environment, not as easy, but if you can bring in those boundaries, it will really help in terms of preventing that burnout and allowing you to go with the flow. You know, I think as women particularly, we're very much someone needs help and we want to run in and save right. everybody, solve everybody's problems. And actually, when you're going through perimenopause, my experience is I'm exhausted. Yeah. I haven't got the energy in the same way that I had. And some days I'll be, oh my goodness, I'm on fire, and I will maximize that time as much as I can. And then other days I'll just think, oh my goodness, I just need to lie down. I'm obviously exhausted. And it's when you can right. take off the gas and think, well, do I need to do that today?
Yeah.
You know, can I put a boundary? Does that really have to be done today? Can I move it to tomorrow? Is that possible? Can I do a little bit on it, maybe half an hour, and then move it on? You know, there's ways of managing your workload and working against your most productive times.
And that's actually strength, isn't it? Because I think the problem of most women is that we set such high bars, especially small business owners as well. So I'm one of those. We set the bar high, we push ourselves high, harder than we would push anybody else. And there isn't that, well, you know, saying to yourself, it's okay to be tired. It's okay mm-hmm. to have a down day. It's, oh, no, don't be silly. Get up there. You know, you're not dead yet. Move on, et cetera. And whereas before, you know, perhaps when you had your menopause, et cetera, it was already the slowing down maybe period of your life where you were starting to think of what you were going to do when you retired. Well, it's absolutely not the case now. So we feel the pressure is there to still keep pushing and battling on, even though, as you say, you both use the word productive. You know, you mm-hmm. can spend the same amount of hours sitting there behind your desk, but guaranteed, you know, the productivity, what comes out of it will not be as good. So it's having that kind approach and recognizing and embracing those changes, I suppose, without feeling that you're being weak. So
Yeah, I've got a background in HR. I was 11 years in HR. My final role was head of HR. And I think if I was going back into that world now, there is an element of you work harder because you want to be recognized. There's definitely still that stuff going on, much as we don't want it to. You definitely seem to have to work harder if you're a woman and prove yourself and that kind of thing. And I think that will bring its own set of challenges if you're going through the menopause. And that's when I think, you know, having conversations with people, no matter what working life you've got, really, it's about having conversations with people and saying, you know, this is how I feel. This is how I can work to my best energy. Yeah. You know, that actually doesn't work for me. How about we do it this way? Would you be open to us doing things differently? Would you be open to us changing the way we work together, the way we collaborate?
And the chances are that the other person would love that too, but wouldn't have had the the confidence to actually bring it up. Mm. What would you say are the main negative sides of menopause? What do people struggle with the most?
I think, I guess one of the biggest things that's come up for both me and Ruby is that anxiety. You know, we, neither one of us were ever anxious people before, were we? And yet this was a sudden transformation. I know other corporate clients I've been working with as well, women who are suddenly thinking, the imposter syndrome jumps in, and a lot of that limiting belief comes in because they just feel like, what's happening to me right now? I've not been like this before. It's like somebody's taken off my superwoman cloak I'm not performing as well as I did before, and I'm not really believing in myself because if I do speak up, I forget what I'm saying or I'm being judged. And it's that anxiety, I think, has been one of the biggest things I've noticed in my client work, but also in myself for the early stage of perimenopause. But I have to say, and I know, Ruby, cover your ears yet again, for the last 9 months, I've had almost zero symptoms at all in this next stage of the journey towards menopause. But yeah, that for me has been a standout. What about you, Ruby?
I think absolutely the anxiety. I was always a worrier. I never knew that I could even experience anxiety in the way of skills and tools and strategies that can help, but it still rears its head from time to time. And the other one is insomnia. To get a full night of sleep would just be heaven. And I hate to say, somebody I was talking to recently said, that doesn't change. It doesn't, the end of menopause isn't going to change. I thought, well, I'm actually glad I know. Someone cursed me for saying that to them. But I thought, well, isn't it better to know? At least you can manage. Okay, that's going to be something that goes on. I think that, though, I don't know if I've ever had a full night's sleep after having a child. I think that changes sleep anyway. But this is a whole different thing. 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my goodness. I've seen that time on the clock.
I just don't
look for having this, though, because, I mean, to be honest, it is in a way a taboo as well, especially the anxiety. I think women are more likely to share the discomfort of hot flushes or, you know, night sweats or things like that than to talk about the anxiety, because I think lots of us, our first reaction is that there's something wrong. We don't really see anxiety as being part of menopause. I certainly didn't see it as that. I actually went to the doctor and asked to have an ECG because I was having what I thought were like panic attacks. I thought I was having like heart attacks at night. I said, I have no idea what's going on, but I can feel my heart go really fast. I feel I can't breathe. Can we please run a check? And then afterwards, and the check was absolutely fine. So I thought, okay, but I'm still having this. And I had no idea that anxiety was a symptom of menopause. None. So I think the more we talk about this, the more we reassure ourselves that this is okay. It's just something that we go through. And I was talking to somebody the other day and thinking, you know, we're talking about mindset and tips and tricks, which we'll get to now. And I was thinking, well, in a way, it's a bit like, you know, adolescence. But I remember I was also very anxious. There was all these things happening to me, which I couldn't control. My body was doing different things. My mind was thinking different things. And you know, I was a bit in shock, as in, you know, what I was doing before wasn't working. And obviously my body had a mind of its own. Those hormones were going up, 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 up. And then we have our adult life. And yeah, what goes up comes down. So, right, those same hormones are going now down, down. And I'm going through that same fuzzy phase, huh? Where, you know, you used to say your brain doesn't work quite right. And there's a bit of fog around there and you're not sure what's happening to yourself. And that's just basically the cycle of life and of nature. And we're very lucky in being goddesses. And that's what comes with it. And lots of people are very, very creative during menopause as well, because it unleashes a different side of us. Right. So if we want to just sort of finish off with some tips, and of course, we're going to very much encourage people to just literally go out and get the book. And that's what I'm going to do as soon as we get off this call. What tips? You know, I always ask my guests to share three tips or tricks, you know, straight there.
We have three.
Yes, go for it. Go for it.
My favorite bit. Number one, focus on one thing.
Right.
Because when you've got brain fog, you are scanning everything, thinking, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to, oh my goodness, my list is so, I don't know where to start. And if you just focus on one thing, right? No, I can't be distracted by that. So it's this radical. So the second part of that is radical focus. So you're saying, right, I'm only focused on, this is the one thing that's priority right now. If I get this one thing done today, I've achieved a great thing.
Right.
Brian Tracy, that frog, for those of you who've heard of it, do your big thing out the way first, especially working to your best productive times. So one thing, and then radical focus. Do not get distracted by other things, because what happens then is you're building your confidence in your ability to complete. And I do think we get this scattergun approach and we're like, oh no, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And you get to the end of the day and like, I haven't achieved anything. But if you've achieved one thing, it's like, okay, well, I did that one big thing that I really needed to get done. And I've done a few little other things as well. So that's actually a great day considering how I've been feeling. And the third part of that is Pomodoros. There's a Pomodoro technique. I cannot ever say his name. I think it was by Frank, somebody Italian surname, or Francesco maybe. And he coined the phrase Pomodoro technique. And essentially, you set a timer for 25 minutes. You have a 5-minute break and you do four of those. And then you have a 15-minute break. And the Pomodoros, with that radical focus and focusing on that one thing, make such a difference.
I think you need to explain what that is, though.
What you're doing. So let's say, for example, I've got to write a blog post. Yeah. So I will say, right, my one job is to write a blog post. I'm going to apply radical focus. So I'm going to turn my phone off. I'm going to have distraction free on my computer. If somebody was home, I'd say, right, you're not coming in. It's my writing time. I don't have that. Mostly people are out. But if they were, I'd be saying, right, I need to just focus on this writing task. So that's my radical focus. And I set a timer for 25 minutes. And I say, right, in that 25 minutes, what do I want to achieve? So it might be, right, in that 25 minutes, I want to have written the top three things that I want to share in my blog post. So I might be saying things like, focus on one thing, radical focus, three timers, for example. And then you focus for that 25 minutes. You then take a break of 5 minutes. And different people do it in different times. Some people find 25 minutes too short. They like 45 minutes. Some people find 15 minutes is better because 25 is too long. So it depends on your levels of energy and how you like to work. But what it does is it gives your brain a creative break in the middle. And then you come back to it and you're like, right, now I know what else I want to write.
Right.
You've still achieved something. So even if you only got that 25-minute block done, easier said than done. I know, working from home, I get it. It's different in the corporate world. But when you're working from home, it's like, right, I've done that one thing. Right, what's my next one thing?
Right.
It just gives you that confidence. You feel like you're making progress. You might have brain fog, but you can almost park it for a few minutes.
Yes, exactly. It's short enough to be able to say.
Short enough for you to be able to concentrate. And then you can go back to the next one and say, right, in this next 25-minute block. But you just feel so productive having done it. And because you're practicing that radical focus, no other distractions, I have got one thing to do. I don't need to worry about the washing, the boss, walking the dog, whatever it is. Yeah. I don't need to worry about it. I've just got to do this one thing. It helps bring clarity to what you're working on.
And that feels good. I can feel it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ruby. Gail, what tips do you have for us?
Yeah, so I'll come from the corporate perspective for women who are leaders or for women who are in roles in the corporate world. The first one is about being realistic, you know, and setting realistic expectations of yourself and only focusing on what you can do. And I think this is a message that comes through loud and clear. You know, yes, we want to be performing at our best, but that doesn't mean killing ourselves by doing it. And while we're managing our mindset and managing what's going on in our bodies, if we focus on what we can do and link that to our productive best time, that's the first thing that I would say. The second one is about planning. You know, a number of the women that I spoke to said that what they found was if they were in high-level positions or seniors and they would be going into a meeting and have those instances where brain fog hit them, when they were in the middle of a big presentation or trying to seal a deal with somebody and propose something to somebody and going blank, feeling the sweat rushing down their back, everything like that, and thinking, I wasn't prepared for that, or getting some feedback, it's like, okay. So one of the ladies that we interviewed in the book, she really made an effort to plan what she wanted to say. So before any one of her meetings, she would sit down and plan what she wanted to say and write some little notes that she could take in with her, because whether we have menopause or not, we can forget sometimes what we want to say. So having those notes there, knowing what you want to say, and then reviewing that afterwards, it's almost like your personal performance and saying, you know what, I feel good because I actually got across the points that I wanted to talk about today. So people are aware. I listened to what other people were saying, and then we can take forward whatever we need to take forward next. And the third one, and I think this is really vital and brings it all together, is about going with the flow. You know, I've often talked about this in other podcasts we've done, and it is a time in our life, it is a phase, and it will pass. And so if we think about it, if we go into a river and we swim against the tide, we struggle very quickly and we can get exhausted and we can possibly drown. So why set yourself up for that when you can actually say, you know, there is something going on, I can do what I can do and be realistic, I can plan and I can be mindful of what I can achieve, but if I go with it rather than fighting it, I make it easier for myself to go through this phase and then come out the other side, strengthening your mindset, strengthening yourself in the whole journey and setting yourself up for what the Japanese and Chinese love to call the second spring.
The second spring. Oh, isn't that lovely? Springs. Isn't that lovely? Yeah. And yes, and in a way, you know, that is really much our second spring. And it can be for very many of us the best years of our lives, right? All the insecurities about, you know, I don't know, what career, who am I going to marry or not marry, children, not children, money, all of that is slightly parked to the side. And now we can really be who we are. Thank you so much for both of you, for the expertise and this wisdom that you're sharing. Thank you for having chosen such a topic as menopause, which affects, I mean, I don't know the figures, but it affects an awful lot of people on this planet. And we can make these years the best years of our lives with the right mindset. So I shall make sure in the notes that we have also both of your other books, the links to this book, obviously. Also, both of you have individual podcasts as well as the common one. So, I mean, such a wealth of knowledge. I'm absolutely delighted to share it. So thank you. Keep at it. And I'm looking forward to having you back.
Thank you, Julie.
To the rest of you out there, well, I hope that like me, you feel both relieved, enthused, supported by this sort of talk. And I mean, we as women, whether indeed corporate or business owners or whatever, we need that support and we should embrace it. It's a special tribe to be in these perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause years, and it makes us the fabulous creatures we are. I shall just summarize very rapidly the tips that we've heard today. So focus on one thing, then make it radical focus. And this Pomodoro technique, so 25 minutes of acute focus on what it is you have set yourself up to do with a 5 minutes break, which you can then revisit, which makes sure that at least you get one thing done and you will feel, you know, enthused about it and not feel such a scatterbrain anymore. And from Gail's point of view, be realistic with your expectations. Plan what you want to say, make yourself a little parachute in the form of notes or whatsoever. You might not need it, but just knowing you've got it will go a long way. And to go with the flow, because swimming against the current isn't putting the energy that we have to good use. So thank you. Let's make these the best years of our lives. Bye-bye. See you this time next week. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life.
Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.